I appreciate those kids so much. I want to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, as we continue studying the Gospels. And this evening, we're going to look at three verses here in the middle of John chapter 5, or towards the middle. And we're going to catch a couple of verses we studied last week and one more verse. But there's so much here that we want to make sure we don't miss anything. But you'll remember last week we studied about the man, impotent man, who laid by the pool of Bethesda, and he was unable to get into the water when the angel came down and stirred up the water. There's no way for him to get in, and he didn't really have much chance there to get healed, but that's the best thing he knew anything about. But one day Jesus came along, and everything changed for that man, and Jesus made him whole. Now, you remember the Pharisees, being the godly men that they were, the Jews, which is likely the leaders of the Jews, the scribes and elders and Pharisees, they were, as godly men, they were very thrilled and excited for this man to be healed, right? No, not so much. They were just upset with the one who had the power to heal somebody like that. Somebody who had lain impotent for 38 years, unable to walk, and Jesus shows up, and at a word, the man is made whole, and these Jews were furious about it. And we want to study a little bit about that tonight, but the main thing we want to see is just the sad fact that their words of hatefulness, their words of venom against Jesus would be their own condemnation. And the title of the message tonight is Equal with God. Let's stand together if you're able. We'll read verses 16, 17, and 18. John chapter 5, verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And can I draw your attention to those last three words that are so true, that Jesus is, in fact, equal with God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to come and worship you tonight. Thank you for your people who have gathered together tonight, and I pray that you would just be accepting of our worship tonight that we've offered up in song. And Lord, that you would just bless your word now. Help me to preach it exactly as you'd have me to. Convict our hearts here tonight. Help us to get a better picture, a better understanding of who you are and who Jesus, our Savior, is. And Lord, help us to love you more and live for you more faithful each and every day. I pray, Father, tonight that anyone here who needs to make a decision for you, for salvation or baptism and church membership, to rededicate their life to you or whatever it is, Father, I pray that your will be done in every heart. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. As we get right into the message this evening, three things that we see here in these verses tonight. First of all, would you notice with me the persecution of Jesus? And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, here's the deal. We just talked about it. This man was laying there. Jesus comes along, asks him if he wants to be made whole. And the man says, I want to, but I can't get myself into the pool. I have no man to help me get into the pool when the water's troubled. And Jesus tells him to rise, take up his bed, and walk. And immediately the man gets up and is healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's incredible. It's awesome. But the Pharisees are always on guard, always policing, making sure that people are as good and holy as they are, and letting everybody know how good and holy they are. And so when they see this man carrying his bed on the Sabbath day, they attack him. They want to know what in the world he's doing. And the man just simply says, well, the one who made me whole, he said to take up my bed and walk. And I just kind of figured that if he was good to make me whole, I should probably do what the rest of what he said was. And what a great lesson for us. Jesus made us whole. We probably ought to go ahead and do the rest of what he said too. He said, so we ought to obey him, not just to be saved, but obey him on. And so therefore, Because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, because of this, the Jews persecuted Jesus. And I want you to know something. The chief priests and elders and the councils have always sought to persecute the Lord Jesus Christ from the very first time they heard him to the very, very end when they saw him die on the cross. In Matthew 26:59, the Bible says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." And I want you to get this. These men who are so concerned about keeping the Sabbath and saying that you can't carry your bed, they had no problem with lying. They had no problem violating that commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." They had no problem hiring false witnesses to come in and say false things against Jesus. And even that didn't work, you'll remember, because the witnesses couldn't agree. They couldn't get their story straight. And so none of that would work. And the only thing that they could ever get to stick was that Jesus claimed to be God, because he did. Because he is. But they had their false witnesses that came up against the Lord. They persecuted him. They were seeking after him. This word persecute has the idea of pursuing someone, going after them. I mean, they weren't just going to let Jesus go. They were going to try to find some way to trip him up. And every time they saw Jesus teaching or preaching, they came and asked him questions, trying to trip him up, trying to get him to say something where they could accuse him, where they could get him. They were always after him. When they couldn't do that, they got the false witnesses. But I want you to know that their hatred for Jesus didn't die with Jesus. But because he rose again, because there were so many witnesses that saw him, because his church continued on for years to come and continues on still today, the persecution against Jesus continued on too. And we read about a man who persecuted, and he gives his testimony in Acts 26, verses 10 and 11, where the Apostle Paul talks about before, when he was Saul of Tarsus. And he says, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." And I want you to know that this hatred, this venom, this persecution, he said, "I was exceedingly mad." It didn't mean he was angry. It meant he was just crazy with his hatred for the Christ followers. You know where that came from? It came from the hatred that the Jews had way back here in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And in the middle of his ministry, they hated Jesus and they persecuted Jesus. Because of what? Because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. Listen, religion is a terrible thing. I hear people sometimes when you try to witness to them, they'll say, "Well, I'm very religious," and all I can think in my heart is, "Oh, Lord, help." Being religious is not a good thing. It's a terrible thing. Religious people are prideful. Religious people are trusting in their deeds and their works and the things that they do and their ceremonies and their sacraments and their rites. And none of those things save us, and none of those things give us a relationship with God. These people were religious, and because of their religion, because their religion was their God, they hated Jesus. You get that? They hated the very God of their religion because of their religion. And what a sad, sad thing to be so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, to witness his miracles, and then to hate him for it. It's tragic. I want you to know something. Jesus told his disciples that the world hated him, and we ought not be surprised if the world hates us. I try to keep up a little bit as much as I can stomach about what's going on in the world. And hey, listen, I hear people talking about how bad it is in America. We just don't have a clue. Scores of Christians are being slaughtered every day because they will not let go of their faith in Jesus Christ. They will not renounce him when the knife is literally to their throat. The name of Jesus is still on their lips. We think we've got it bad in America. We think it's getting bad because if you refuse to bake a cake, you're going to get sued. We don't have a clue, friends. And that's terrible, and that's tragic in its own right, but it's nothing. But listen, the world hates Jesus. The world's religions hate Jesus. And they will continue to hate him and persecute his people until he takes us home. The persecution of Jesus. But notice next the proclamation of Jesus. They wanted to kill him because what he did on the Sabbath day. But look at Jesus' answer in verse 17. But Jesus answered them. This is his answer. Now, I want you to get this. They didn't really ask him a question. They just wanted to kill him. But this was his response. This is his answer. This is his proclamation. He says nothing about the Sabbath, but he says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He didn't mention the Sabbath in his answer, but that's exactly what he's referring to. And I want you to get this because the Jews got it. They understood. But we need to make sure we understand. Now, at times when Jesus was attacked for healing and working and doing things on the Sabbath, Jesus would point out the fact that acts of mercy were acceptable on the Sabbath. In Matthew 12, verses 11 and 12, for instance, he said, "And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." And so Jesus taught them at times. His answer was, listen, all of you Pharisees, all of you scribes, all of you elders, not one of you, if you had a sheep fall in the ditch on the Sabbath day, would just leave it there to die. You would rescue it. Because that's a good and right thing to do. But you think that I've done wrong because I healed somebody on the Sabbath. And he gave this truth that it's always right. It's always right to do good. And you shouldn't take off from doing good just because it's the Sabbath. But this time, that wasn't his answer. This time, he gives a different answer. And his answer was this. Jesus simply says that the Sabbath doesn't keep God the Father from his activity, and it doesn't keep God the Son from his activity either. Listen, God the Father created everything, and it's by him that everything continues. God's the one that keeps the galaxies spinning in the universe. God is the one that keeps the stars burning in those galaxies. God is the one that keeps the planets in their orbits around those suns. God is the one that gives us life here on earth. God is the one that makes it all happen and keeps it going every day. And he doesn't take Saturday off. See, God is above the Sabbath. Somebody asked a Jew one time, "Why does not God keep the Sabbath?" "It is not lawful," was the answer, "for a man to move." He said, "Is it not lawful for a man to move about in his own house on the Sabbath? The house of God is the whole realm above and the whole realm below." In other words, even the Jews understood that you can go about your house and do things inside your house on the Sabbath day. Well, guess what? The universe is God's house. He's not limited by the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." So here's Jesus' answer. My Father, he works hitherto. Since the creation of all things, God the Father has continued to do his work, to do his activity every day, even on the Sabbath days. And I work. You get it? This is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Now notice lastly tonight the perception of the Jews because they got it. Look at verse 18. Now, when I read verse 17 without studying it out, I don't really get it, but the Jews got it. When I first read verse 17, I didn't quite understand, but you read verse 18, and the Jews understood exactly what Jesus was saying. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. They already were persecuting. They already were trying to find a way to kill him. Now they really, really wanted to kill him. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. There's some religions right here in our community today who do not understand or believe this truth. Jesus Christ is God. And it is vital for us to understand that truth. Listen, I've tried to witness to some of them, and they'll say things that sound right, like Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we say, well, that's just right out of the Bible. That's got to be true. But if you dig a little deeper, if you press them a little bit farther, you'll find out that they do not believe that Jesus is God. And if you don't believe that Jesus is God, then you believe in a Jesus that cannot save you. The perception of the Jews, they understood exactly what he was saying. I want to look at a couple of verses with you real quick just to kind of back this up. If you'll flip back in your Bible to John chapter 1, verse 1. The Jews understood something. Jesus is claiming to be equal with God. And you'll notice when we study on in the next couple of weeks to come, as we study out John chapter 5, you'll never hear Jesus saying that's not true, that's not right. You'll never hear Jesus saying, no, that's not what I'm saying, because that's exactly what he was saying. So John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what's it say? Was God. Some of those people I'm talking about, they got a different Bible, and their Bible says something different right here. And so what's messed them up is they got the wrong Bible. Their Bible right here says the Word was, it has the letter A, and a little g, God. You see, they want to say that Jesus was a God. But the Word of God says that Jesus wasn't a God, but he is and was and always will be God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Well, how do you know that's talking about Jesus? Well, look down at verse 14, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word that created everything was made flesh. That Word that created everything, all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That Word is the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is God. Now look, if you will, flip over in your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll start down at verse 14. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who do you suppose that's talking about? It's okay, you can say it out loud. Thank you. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Jesus is the image of God the Father you can't see, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the image of God. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I just want you to see from the Word of God tonight that what Jesus was saying to those Jews is exactly what they understood. I am equal with God because I am God. And they understood it. They didn't believe it, but they understood it. And they hated him even more for it. But we understand tonight from what Jesus told them and from scripture after scripture after scripture that Jesus Christ is God. We could go to the Old Testament and we could see where God the Father said that I will not share my glory with another. And we could come right over to the New Testament where the Bible says that God the Father gives the Son all glory. We could go over to the book of the Revelation. We could see that Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And we could see in the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the great I Am. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. We sang about it tonight. The kids sang about it. And we can look at the fact that he is the everlasting Father. The mighty God. The Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And throughout the Word of God, he tells us over and over and over, he is equal with God. Well, why does it matter? Just because some people out there don't get it, is it really that big a deal? I want you to understand something, dear friend. If Jesus isn't God, he cannot be the Savior of the whole world. If he's not God, he's just another man. If he's not God, he doesn't have the power to save all. But as God, he had the power to save every person who will believe in his holy name. I think it's good for something else, so many other things, but one other thing I want to remind you of tonight as we consider the fact that Jesus is equal with God. I think it's a very dangerous thing in Christianity today. I see a lot of people, and certainly we understand that God, through Jesus Christ, has made us friends of God. Jesus said in John 15 that I have called you friends. And he has made us friends. Amen. But we need to remember that he's God. Amen. People try to bring Jesus down to where he's just another one of their buddies or one of their friends. And we've got to remember that he is God. Amen. And he deserves all honor and glory and praise. Amen. And we ought to humbly come before him. And we ought to honor him and respect him with our lives, and we ought to tremble before him in his great power. Amen. He's God. Yes, he humbled himself and became like us so he could be one of us, so he could save us. But he was always God. Never stopped being God. And he's God forevermore. The Jews persecuted him because of his proclamation. But they understood exactly what Jesus was saying. We need to understand it too. Hitherto, my Father has worked, and I work. My Father has worked to do good to this sin-cursed world. My Father has worked from the beginning to keep things going. My Father has worked from the beginning to make a way for you to be saved, and I am here to do that work. He said, I made this man whole because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And if you would want to be made whole, you're going to have to come to me. Amen. This evening, as we get ready for an invitation, I just want to ask you to stand with me. And if the Holy Spirit of God's convicted your heart about a decision you need to make, I want to remind you tonight that this Jesus that we sing about, this Jesus that we preach about, this Jesus that we are here to serve and love and learn about, and to try to live for, he is our God. And we need to honor him and live for him as our God. If he's convicted your heart tonight, a decision that you need to make, would you come while we sing?